Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Friday. Our first week is in the books. Thank you all for jumping on, being a part of it. All the new ones, all the old ones. Thank you all. It's been a crazy week. You know, lots gone on in the world. And I know I've talked about a couple things here or there in a more broader sense. Not really getting too deep into things. But I intend to keep that train going and doing, I want to say just a whole bunch of different things, you know, as this year progresses. So, you know, look out for it. Should be fun. I also am thinking about the possibility of having once a week where I actually review a left-wing show. I figure, why not do it? We're talking from start to finish, the whole episode, reacting to whatever is said as best as I can. Why not? You know, maybe I'll toss in a conservative show. I may not always land the plane as I do these things, but if you've been hanging on with me and if you've been, let me rephrase, if you've been listening to me for almost for the entire time, for over the last 8 or 9 years, you know that I swing the bat and whatever happens, happens. So look forward to that type of stuff coming out of the goose. So let's have some fun right now. From the Hill, the Ohio governor, Mike DeWine, signed a bill into law that allows police departments to charge for body cam footage. The law permits agencies to charge up to $75 an hour for processing video with a maximum fee of $750. This measure aims to help departments cover the costs associated with reviewing and redacting the footage. Jeez, it's late, guys. It's late. Sorry about that. It has sparked concerns about transparency and accessibility for the public and its journalists. It's kind of, I feel like this dude is just trying to create another revenue stream for the state. That's what I think is happening. I think he wants to make it harder for prosecutors, not for prosecutors, for defense attorneys to get their hands on the footage. I think he's trying to make it difficult for lower income criminals, if you will, to get their defense in order. That's what I think. It also will prevent smaller news outlets from picking things up as well. And it kind of also makes it hard just in general. And I think that's Ohio's goal, is to protect their police officers as much as they can. It does signal a possible abuse, because of the price tag. Picking and choosing, it just feels like it's going to be a bad thing all the way around for the city. What are you guys' thoughts on this? Do you think body cam footage, I feel like this is going to start to trickle to other states, but do you think, you know, in general sense, do you think that the body cam footage is going to be an issue in trials because people can't get their hands on it? That's just kind of what I'm thinking. Let me know what you guys think in the comments down below, or you can email stretchgoose@fontsmedia.com.
It's time for us to come together and finally lower the high cost of living in the United States of America once and for all. And we will work with anyone of any party to get that done. We will work with anyone to secure our borders, and we will work with anyone to fix our broken immigration system.
Sounds like the Democrats are finally going to do something about it. I mean, this is Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic majority leader in the House. He's talking about lowering the cost of living and protecting the border. Something that didn't really become a priority for the Democratic administration during their 4 years in office. But all of a sudden, now that they have a Republican in, they're going to cry about the border and cry about how all that stuff is important all of a sudden. It's just interesting that this has suddenly been the talking point of the Democratic Party. So when he talks about lowering the cost of living, how do you raise the cost of living? I mean, you know, to go to the nuts and bolts of it all, I mean, basically you inject a bunch of money into the economy, you drive the costs of goods up, and you know, less supply, more demand, more pricing, higher price hikes and things. So that's how that happens. So if you're so interested in lowering the cost of living, as they've been preaching for their entire presidency, but not really doing it, and now all of a sudden they're out of office, and anybody that's in Congress and the Senate, all of a sudden they want to, you know, say that they're all for it. But how much did the Democratic administration actually put into the economy? So the American Rescue Plan in 2021 was $1.9 trillion. It was direct payments to individuals for COVID and other ailments. Then they also spent $1.2 trillion on the infrastructure bill. Supposedly broadband, transportation, utilities, all that good stuff was supposed to come off that money. But we all know that the broadband thing hasn't happened yet. They haven't connected one person on the internet. The modernization of roads just hasn't happened. Bridges, we just had bridges, you know, actually fall down after they got hit by a boat in his administration. So that's going to cost a lot to fix. And then, of course, the most mistitled bill ever was the Inflation Reduction Act, which was $430 billion. It was investments in things that just usually don't work, which is your climate change, your climate energy, subsidies for healthcare and prescription drug reductions. None of those things actually lower in the inflationary costs, especially after you've put in $3.1 trillion off of the first two, plus $430 billion. And of course, the CHIPS and Science Act is $280 billion funding semiconductor manufacturing and research support for science and innovation. That CHIPS Act hasn't really yielded any results. The money has been allocated and spent, but we haven't seen anything come out of it. So here's what they say happened with this stuff, though. The American Rescue Plan, it led to a historic recovery, creating 15 million jobs and maintaining unemployment at 4% over 2 years. It also significantly reduced poverty and food insecurity. We already know that the 15 million jobs were all probably government-funded jobs, therefore not an actual job creation. And, of course, the $1.2 trillion investments funding major construction projects across highways and bridges, rails, aviation, transportation has already pumped $306 billion into the state coffers with direct investment projects. That bill hasn't done anything. It really hasn't. All this money has gone into politicians and into their businesses and what have you, but none of this has actually yielded any kind of improvements to the infrastructure. I don't see any kind of maintenance going on where I live, you know, so I don't know how bad California's economy is to the point where this money would be used for that. And of course, the $430 billion investments into clean energy and climate action, creating hundreds of thousands of jobs and lowering healthcare and energy costs, which it didn't really do. Healthcare and energy costs have been on the rise at roughly 10 to 15% nationally. It's not exactly dropping anything else. And of course, the CHIPS, the CHIPS and Science Act was a $280 billion what in the world, which of course they claim has led to $166 billion in semiconductor manufacturing and created thousands of jobs. But most of those semiconductors that were made in government facilities ran and owned by the federal government. So did any of this actually lower the cost of living? The answer is no. The policies have had mixed effects on the cost of living. On one hand, measures like the Inflation Reduction Act have aimed to lower healthcare and prescription drug costs, capping insulin and reducing utility bills through clean energy investments. These efforts have helped some Americans save money. However, the American Rescue Plan and other stimulus measures have also been linked to inflation, which has driven up the cost of living for many. And of course, while inflation has started to decrease, the overall impact varies depending on individual circumstance and regional factors and things of that nature. So, all that to say this, the answer is really no. Because in California, I love how they sit there and they love, a lot of these guys like to pull these stats out, you know, saying that, you know, statistics say this and that. And it's usually when you look into the nuts and bolts of it, usually what you find is that these are pulled from like 300 people or something. It's nothing there that is real or tangible for anybody. So I know gas in California is $5 to $6 a gallon till this day. Now, I know the Inflation Reduction Act didn't help do that, even though they says that it would. So how much of that is really the mismanagement of our governor in California, Gavin Newsom? I mean, he still doesn't know where the $26 billion shortfall is. He doesn't know where that money went. He doesn't know what it was spent on or if it still exists. He doesn't know anything. And that, to me, is the biggest issue, is the money goes right into the bank accounts of all the politicians in the state and local, in their state governments, and it just goes wherever they think it should go. And it doesn't go to anything specific. Therefore, you get the big spike in inflation and unemployment and things like that. But I just don't think it has lowered the cost of living. Same area that takes money is energy drinks from vehicles and energy drinks from vehicles. Oh my God, my mind is on a beverage that I am not drinking right now. Energy drinks in vehicles. What a fucking stupid thing to say. As I am talking about energy prices. Wow. Let's just leave that one there in the just dangling out into the middle of nowhere. Let me just leave that oopsie daisy just hanging for a second. Just breathe that one in. Energy drinks in cars. Yes, folks, some people do drink that stuff. Yes, Monster. Yes, Ghost. Yes, C4, Rockstar. Black Rifle Coffee has entered the energy drink space, by the way, if you care. Yes, this does happen. Oh, goody, goody gumdrops. Anyway, let's just move on because I clearly failed going right back to the drawing board on that one. My goodness. So have they actually done anything on the border? I mean, fiscal year 2021, there were 10.8 million encounters. There were 2 million known gotaways. And the Biden administration has implemented measures to strengthen border security, including increasing the number of agents and officers deployed, surveillance, autonomous surveillance towers, enhanced technology, ports of entry. The recent measures have led to a 29% decrease between May and June of 2024, following a presidential proclamation to temporarily suspend the entry of certain non-citizens. Now, this is all sounding well and good so far, but he didn't need to go through Congress. He didn't need to do any of that. He could have done it through executive action, like many presidents often do. And then, of course, everybody dangles that border bill. They're like, hey, you know, if the Republicans had done their job and just worked with us on the border bill, we wouldn't be where we are today with only 29%. It would be like 50%. We would have some construction done. There would be some of this and some of that, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, guys, we all know that that border bill was an unbelievable steaming pile of bullshit. It was garbage. The idea behind it, though, before Joe Biden shipped off the construction, the parts for the construction, there was supposed to be a restart of the border wall. There was supposed to be stricter asylum eligibility, and there was supposed to be more border agents. And then there was supposed to be a fund of $110 million of grants to law enforcement agencies that are working with the U.S., immigration, and so on. There's a technology investment plan, Anti-Border Corruption Act reauthorization. The bill reauthorizes the Anti-Border Act to address corruption with Sea Customs and Border Patrol. Eradication efforts, programs to eradicate invasive plant species like the carrizo cane and salt cedar that can impact border security. That's what they pitched us. But what actually was in the bill was a $118 billion package of military funding for Ukraine and Israel. And that, to me, is not good. It's not good that you have to attach bills to get shit done. It should have been a single subject bill. There was also $14.1 billion for security assistance to Israel. There were funds for the U.S. Central Command and support for U.S. partners in the Indo-Pacific region. This comprehensive bill addressed both sides, but we all know that bill was dead on arrival. And of course, the total as of April of 2024, Joe Biden had already pumped $6.1 trillion into the economy, not exactly a saver. And I've been saying this for forever at this point. The difference, here's the differences between a Republican and a Democrat. A Democrat wants you to depend on the leadership, or I guess this is to be the government in this case, with whether it be a subsidy or whether it be job training or whether it be financial assistance of some kind for your rent and food and whatever. You know, they want you to rely on them. The Republican Party, on the other hand, does not do that. They want you to stand on your own two feet. They want you to be able to make a name for yourself, make a living, etc. Do it on your own with very minimal reaction from the government. And that's where it is. I mean, that's the difference between these two teams, if you will. And that's just where it's going to be. A lot of headbutting, a lot of infighting, chippiness. It's going to happen. I'm all here for it, though. Thank you all for listening. Appreciate each and every one of you. Make sure you like it, you share it, and you subscribe to it. See ya. Enjoy your weekend.